Permanent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Permanent Footprint, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 24th on the West Coast, now March the 25th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to also welcome those listening around the world, especially those in the U.S. military, listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com. Well, lots happening. I didn't really anticipate spitting out an article today, but there's been such a flurry of email informing me and others that the Kenyan birth certificate of the long-legged Mac Daddy is bogus, or the Hawaiian birth certificate is being sealed under wraps by the officials in Hawaii. And this is old news, folks. We've talked about this numerous times. I've written articles. I've done countless interviews on the topic. And, of course, the mainstream media has tried to spin it in their particular propaganda direction. And those on the internet, those that listen to shows like this and others, I can rattle off a bunch of names that basically have disclosed the fraudulent nature of this being that's sitting in the White House, running this country and the world simultaneously into the ground, into the underground bases and tunnels and the viper dens. How do I say it? It's become quite clear to many people, especially with the recent passage of what they're calling a healthcare bill, which is nothing but another Ponzi scheme. And, incidentally, I've reported this all this week, my viewpoints on that. And, I'm not alone in that. There are others, especially in the economic community, that see through the facade. And with that going on and the onslaught of the recycling of these bogus birth documents and photographs, including shape-shifting Indonesian boys at a birthday party, I decided to write a piece, and I posted it on my website, and it's getting a lot of attention within the last few hours. Thousands of people now are reading this. It's called The Creation of a Usurper, a Crash Course. And I encourage you to go to my website, directlightproductions.com, click on articles, and you'll see it right there at the top. Of course, this is a summary. It's a condensed version of the salient points about who the long-legged Mac Daddy really is. And I use Pastor James David Manning's nickname for him because I can't bring myself really to say the name. And so I encourage you to pass the link around, let people know. It is on a few other websites already, and I'm grateful to those that have published it. Jeff Rentz published it several hours ago, and it's gone viral. So I encourage you to read it and let people hear this message, because more and more evidence is coming out to show that this is not as outlandish as it may seem. In fact, the story that you've been given initially is the outlandish story. Or should I say stories, because that's all we've gotten. We've gotten stories, lies, propaganda, and intelligence gaffes. That's enough I want to say about that from my own rant perspective. However, I would like now to invite back to Evident Footprints a good friend. He's a polymer chemist by trade. He is also a chemtrail opposition researcher, and we've got a lot to talk about that tonight. And he's somewhat of a very accomplished scientist in many, many areas, not just his field of expertise. and he brings a lot to the table. I'm sure if this is the first time you've heard him, you will enjoy what he has to say, and you'll learn a lot from him. His name is Dr. Mike Castle. Dr. Castle, welcome to the show.
Well, good afternoon, evening, or morning, I guess. I'll go through the whole thing. Good evening, Don, and yeah. I'm glad to be back on your show. Very honored, and I want to congratulate you for your article. It's gone viral, and it's going to be around the world yet this evening. So, just keep that in your mind when you fall asleep. But I want to congratulate you because I know what it's about. It's not my topic. As you know, I abstain from using that person's name in any way, shape, or form. I refuse to, in fact, refer to him as just the being in the White House. Little did I know that, in fact, I was going to be right about that, too. But, there's a question on what kind of being is this? So anyways, there's where you come in, and you shined again, if I can use the word shined in that context. You do shine because you talk about things in this article that you've written that you mentioned to me. It's been, a couple of months ago, and I was stunned then, as I know that anybody that reads what you've written about that being and where he actually came from, and the things that you in fact found are as big as some of the announcements that have flowed today about the pyramid, the Romanian pyramid, and the New York underground tunnels, the bases. All this stuff's been talked about on the radio today on somebody's show. And listen, tell you, I'm just like Dr. Atriot. I'm never depressed anymore. I'm looking at what's coming from the Matrix. I don't care what they do, but I'm amazed at the information and the truth that is coming out about just whom we really are.
Yes, yes, I agree. And my listeners, if they could all speak to you at the same time, would tell you that, yes, they've heard us talk about those topics. There is more information. I got to listen to Dr. Ott's show today with his guest, Peter Moon. And I read some months ago his book, The Black Sun. And he alluded to many of these things, but he's outdone himself. Now, I don't recall the name of his book. Maybe you could enlighten us in that regard.
The one that he was talking with True about was Transylvanian Sunrise.
Okay. See, it's the dichotomy of
cool black name, sun. Huh?
Yeah. And one thing I noticed is that as I listened to him speak, he was touching on points, and he even mentioned Eisenhower at one point, but he was touching on points that dovetail with my recent research on Eisenhower and this connection over there in Austria-Hungary. You know, when you have a world leader, or at least a ruler of a kingdom, a domain, and he's an autocratic emperor, and I basically arrived at the conclusion that he was actually the sire of the Eisenhower clan, and no one's challenged that information. There's more coming out very, very soon, and it's a slam dunk. I mean, you cannot argue the facts that are right before us. They've been hidden in someone's file cabinet, and they were removed. The documents were removed from a burning building, and so there are some scorch marks on them, some water stains. But what is revealed is this connection, and it goes all the way back to that area that Peter Moon was talking about today, and has written about in his book.
Can I add, so was the Shroud of Turin.
Yes.
Scorched and burnt, and when you looked at it, it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I want to read his book. I'd be very interested in reading it, and maybe we can even have him on the show. I don't want to preempt the work that Dr. Ott's doing right now, because he may have a continuing series, but certainly Mr. Moon would probably come on the show and be willing to talk about that.
Well, yes, just, no, he had me glued.
Yes.
I was just riveted to that show today.
Mm-hmm. It confirms this research. That's the main point I want to make.
Right.
Having read my article, what are your thoughts about, you know, because it's a condensed version, really, of several parts in a serial article that are quite detailed. There were no photos, no documents appearing, so it's just my recollection of who this guy is and how he was created and what they did to obfuscate that creation.
Well, the obfuscation is also these operatives that are out there that have got their own mission plan, and in fact is to completely deny that this man ever was born anywhere but where they say he was born, and they file their own protests. They, in fact, but then it just like floats away, and nobody ever picks up on it because it's not the Matrix. It's the Matrix not going to tune any of this thing in. But then that's where it goes, and then we got healthcare. Oh, like what healthcare? So you get everybody in that paradigm of frenzy of talking about something that, in fact, shouldn't exist in the first place, but see the grand mesmerization that is being conducted through the HD wave, which we've talked about for years, mm-hmm. about a subject and a topic that, in fact, doesn't really mean anything except they're going to take your money. They're just going to tell you now that they're going to and when they're going to do it. So nothing else really matters. It's a matter of control and everything else that is involved in that. But we just race forward, never knowing, does this being in the White House that's called the elected president of the United States, does this person actually exist? Even though just being a naturalized citizen, which is a requirement for that being, in fact, who hold that office, number one. And number two, does that being actually exist? There's where I think that you're making the specific topic of, that is a really good question, and you've got a few notes on it. I love the way you do that, Don. But in this case here, you're talking about something that goes back to Michael Rockefeller. Oh,
yes.
How many people have, in fact, heard that name before and heard that, well, maybe what was told that happened to him didn't really happen? Didn't he just, like, disappear? Well, that's what we were told to believe.
Yes, that's what we were told, that he was either eaten by sharks, crocodiles, or cannibals.
Or toads. Ate by a toad. But anyway, but he wasn't. And it's not your creativity. It's just your ability to, in fact, connect those dots over there a long time ago. Not too long ago, but a long time ago. And now that question is, where did the gene pool come from that was accumulated to, in fact, to make a being? Because this is what this is a made being. It's kind of synthetic, but it's mm-hmm. still a made being. And, you know, I didn't say anything bad about him personally, so I can say whatever I want. So, anyways, in that grade, then you connect the Rockefeller paradigm or a nightmare, whichever way you would like to view that.
Or both.
Or both, with something that, in fact, is, well, isn't that occultic? No, it's Egyptian. Egyptian, yeah. Yeah, like when they found the pyramid, like when Joseph Smith, in fact, found these golden tablets, they were written in Egyptian hieroglyphs. Oh, really? Where'd he find those at? Oh, up in New York. But it's the Egyptian thing. Egyptian? Well, what's that mean to us? I'm not going to steal your thunder, my friend, but in fact, the parallel that you made with that being connective today, and even his name, even the name he uses, in fact, I think is masterful. I think you nailed it on the mark.
Well,
boy,
yes,
if you don't find out what that is, people, you're just going to go without knowing something.
Yeah, you got to read this article, certainly. I went into a bit more detail in The Three Stooges Go to Washington. In fact, that was the closing of Part 7B, and I assumed at that point that there was nothing really more to discuss about this being, as you use the term, merely because any further discussion was just going to be a continuation of the same illusion. This is an illusion.
Yep.
This is like a cheap magician's trick, really. And, when they brought Dolly the sheep out in, what was it, 1988 or 89, was to prepare us for what was actually occurring in the scientific realm, especially where DNA was concerned and the topic of cloning. This was a creation. This wasn't a clone per se. This was a concerted effort to take something from antiquity and bring it forth because of the symbolism. And you hit the nail on the head when you mentioned Egypt. It has a connection to Montauk. All of these things have a tie that goes back thousands of years. You see, this is their obsession, is to recycle and to repeat history over and over again. And I'm sure that this has gone on other planets because it's the same players involved.
Yes. Oh, thanks for saying that.
Do you want to comment on that?
I just always had this nagging question. Ever since I've been a kid, I've been an amateur astronomer. I mean, I just fell in love with looking at the early spacecraft photographs of Mars, and then all the way up to the Cassini missions. Well, way back when, I used to get Astronomy magazine, and I was just literally took my breath away to look at these centerfold pictures of the moons of Jupiter. And I never forgot the day I looked at Ganymedes. Ganymedes, it's just like a great big huge frozen marble that somebody threw into hot boiling oil. And it cracked into a million pieces. Then they've got this other moon. It's called Europa. It's a very odd moon because there's geologic features there that ain't geologic. As a matter of fact, there's nothing geologically on any planet or sphere that, in fact, could make something that looks like these things. They are vast and very winding snake and serpentine-type shapes that literally cover that planet. It looks like a great big old gob of nightcrawler there on one part of that of that planet. I've never seen anything like that.
Well, they have tubes like that on Mars too. I mean, they're
exactly.
Called tubes, but that nightcrawlers is a good
name. Oh, thanks to you. I've given everybody a good visual. It looks like a great big old wad of nightcrawlers. It really does. But these things go across this entire moon. It's just like there's a massive serpentine infestation, and I never forgot that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, thanks to let's just say divine direct guidance to some degree, I meet people like Don Nikoloff, and he shows me pictures of the same exact thing on Mars. Then I, in fact, find out from you and some people over in China that there are these things all over the place right here on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what we've got going here, ladies and gentlemen, well, what we have is something that has been completely obfuscated from our vision and or our knowledge, and that includes just really whom we really are. We think we know, but we were never really told that particular story, were we? Ever.
No.
We didn't, in fact, question any of it. It's just that that's what we were trained. So you shouldn't ask questions. So we, in fact, believe that we may have come from here or come from there, but then there are those, I'll call them minions out there, that are amongst us that aren't really, really from here. Matter of fact, they're not really amongst all of us all the time, most of us, sometimes, but in fact, they're right under our feet. Because there's so much more surface area there if you take away all the water. Just imagine that. just imagine the area that must be there, especially if these are huge bubblet type things. You want to know where the concept of a popping bubble came from? Well, don't put that picture in your mind. But there is a massive underground cavern inside to the core of the earth. Only portions of it are directly magma related. Other portions, like over east, like over towards Greenland, there's this huge, massive trench. That's the edge of a massive tectonic plate. And that, in fact, that plate, and as it goes up to the North Atlantic, that whole region in there are vast underground cities that most people can't even begin to fathom how big these are. Where did they get all the materials to build these places? Well, the other bad part of that news is we probably paid for that, too. But it's been from all over the world, but mostly the U.S. military and factions of that has been completely pirated and commandeered by this other race species of extraterrestrials. Call them reptilians, but the reptilians, in fact, have been here longer than mankind has been on this earth. Notice I didn't say face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to go into that diatribe, but yeah. Europa is a classic example of just that same effect, the serpentine. That's what we're facing right now with most of the things that are before us right now, Don. And I think that with the works that you do, and like Dr. A. Truott and Jeff Renz, and just I can't possibly name off all the people, the excellent researchers and the men of truth that, in fact, are coming out and saying, hey, look at this. You can believe this or not. It doesn't make any difference. But here's where all these dots that, like Eisenhower, well, why is it important to know that? Well, because we were trained to have a varying and different purview of whom we thought this person was, right? Then you establish all these other things that, in fact, put this man also, of all places, over in Romania. And this thing all coalesces together with the talks and the facts of these other races, these other species, from whether they're from here or not, would it make a difference? But they've been hidden. They've been obfuscated. They've been hidden from our view, and they are just as Dr. Fred Bell, I think, recited on Joyce Riley's program this morning. She said, Dr. Bell was talking to this other person who knew that these ETs existed and these other species existed, and he said one guy made one comment. He said, "Yeah, but they lie a lot." Well, Ruby Begonia, ring a bell here.
I want to interrupt just for a second,
sure.
Seth. If you're listening to me here, you got to. Checking my audio, I am getting a bit of an echo here, just a little bit. Maybe you can back off on whatever's causing that. Got to make these guys work. You know, they have it too easy. That seems to have stopped. So thank you, Seth. If you haven't responded yet, I don't know who I'm thanking. There's the smile. Okay. All right. He did take care of it. All right. Well, we've had such interesting shows this week. I had Dr. H. Huat on Monday, and the lines were just burning up. And then I had Ken Adachi on yesterday. This has been a repeated topic. Now, we've touched on some other things. We've talked about, such as last night with Ken, we talked about a lady in North Carolina that is being attacked by a satanic group with contacts to military intelligence. And this has been going on for a major portion of her life. Okay. And she's taken some really interesting photographs despite what the law enforcement agencies in her area are stating, that she's nuts and that she's delusional and those types of things. She's taken pictures that totally support what she said. And Dr. Ott has been interviewing a number of people who have come forth very recently. I mentioned Ken. Ken gets email and sometimes calls from people around the world that have similar stories that they're talking about. There's a tremendous amount of truth coming out recently, and it's probably because we have the courage to talk about it and to face what is going on. And I know you talked to some people regarding that and the assault, the bombardment of the Gwen Towers and chemtrails. And I want to give you the opportunity to share some of your thoughts on that, if you would.
Okay, well, you know, when I was listening to Ken's program last night, it was an excellent show, and it wasn't really a show. It was like a informational briefing. You know, I mean, just amazing the information that these good men, in fact, can put out, and because that's what their gift is. And we're programmed, in fact, to just tell it without a spin. I just don't even recognize that word exists, because here's what, in fact, it means. I also was thinking of a young woman that is in California. Matter of fact, she lives, I found out the last time I talked with her, very close to the base of the edge of the Bohemian Grove area there in Santa Rosa, comes up very close to the back end of where she lives at.
Mm-hmm.
That's about maybe a couple of miles away.
Yeah.
So I was trying to encourage her to put one of these orgone units, the portable kind, just take and throw it over the fence. You know, I'd like throw it and run. But anyways, her name is Lisa. And she, too, I now know, based on what I heard, again, with Ken talking about and the guest that Truot has had on, Liz, a number of times, I know this is all the same pattern. This is all the same type of stuff. And I've got her geographic locale right there at the Bohemian Grove. So now I know, because she's told me some of the most, I'll just be polite and say, some of the most bizarre stuff I've ever heard in my life. And I'm just like Ken and True and everybody. I'm a sane person and I'm very reasonable. But, you know, they push you to your limits of being able to accept what they're telling you. And I know that those other gentlemen will probably agree with that. They just say things that just, like, it leaves your jaw open and you're trying to think of something to say, but you're still stunned by what they just got done telling you. It's like, why is this? I didn't know this world could get that vile and ugly. But you know, Don, we don't know the half of it because it's not happened to us personally. But I can tell you there's some people out there that are struggling with all their might to resist this force that continues to press upon them. And they can, if they in fact just change their heart. That's all they got to do. I know that sounds really simple. It's like a drug addict just telling them, just say no. You know, it just doesn't work. But there are ways of maneuvering out of the situation that you have. And the first thing is, if you're taking any type of pharmaceutical drug at all, stop. Now, you can take the next step forward. But you won't do anything if you're on any type of pharmaceutical drug that is prescribed these days in the United States. Because they're all based on what they, in fact, refer to as psychotronics. And in fact, that's exactly what these pharmaceutical are nothing but mere psychotronic drugs. You can't think on your own. Your mind is going to be manipulated chemically and electronically. Just know that there are ways to maneuver out of that. Some things that we have found, but we don't really publish, but it's just based on simple things. But we just know by our own observational analysis, and very quaint, very independent, it seemed to work. They seemed to really, really, really work good. But we didn't make any discoveries. We're just going and finding out what old Indian medicine men knew back in the older days, what priests knew of the good men and women, especially the men that lived in this world a long time ago, a long time ago. But they all knew of these things. I will not, in fact, disgrace the process of growing food as a technology, because these beings back then, these human beings back then, they didn't know of such a word. They had methodologies, and their methodologies was based on the cycles of the earth, period. And that's what we've failed and lost. They've been obfuscated. They've been hidden from us. They still exist. But you have to go searching. Well, of course, when somebody finds something really good, and let's just say, oh, it's marketable. Oh, yeah, it's green, it's environmentally friendly. You know, it's what they didn't tell you and all that baloney. No, see, they take it towards the sign of the serpent, the sign of money, the snake. That's what their lust is. Their lust is for money, shiny things that mean value because they've got no morals. They've got zero morals. They, in fact, aren't really human. Part of their possession is demonic, and they, in fact, are of principles and spirits of demonic possession, if you will. So they are soulless, yes. And what they seek to do is, in fact, to transmute all of what we know as God's creation and life form, all life forms, into something that is appealing to them and pleasing to them, or extinct.
Yes. Now, their method of controlling people is achieved through, a number of, I don't want to use the word method again, devices, okay? They use a number of devices which are telling us what is good for us, when in fact it's the opposite. It's not good. And those things are neither good nor bad unless we accept them, unless we give credence to them. They're feeding us a bunch of illusions, is what I'm saying. And that when you accept the illusion through their desire to have you believe in what they say or believe in what they do, as if they know the cause and they know the solution. If they know the solution, wouldn't it be logical to prevent the cause from happening in the beginning? I mean,
well, they always bait and trap.
Yes.
Not only being grandly deceptive about everything, if they say one thing, what the truth is exactly the opposite every single time. It is exactly the opposite of what they're telling you that in fact is truth. If you in fact just for a moment step back and take the opposite side, not to be cantankerous, not to be uncooperative, but to look for the truth, because what they just got done telling you is not true. It's a lie and an illusion. It's a fabrication of reality. That is, in fact, the pseudo-reality of this earth right now. It is a pseudo-reality in the context that everything, in fact, is an illusion, all of it. The Matrix, it's all about illusions. It's all about their holograms that they, I heard about that again just today. It, in fact, is about what they plan to do from this point forward. So people, just to give you a clue, they plan to use that. You know the great big blue spiral? That's part of their holographics, the holograms. And those holograms, in fact, are used to further deceive you. And if your mind, in fact, is going to be deceived by watching that, and, well, nobody told me about it, well, I just did. Because those things that are intended to, because we're big on movies and big grand displays and all that, well, we got one coming. There's no question that's their intent, because they certainly have the technologies, don't they?
Yes, yes. Well, you know what comes to mind, one of the methods that they use, this was very subliminal, but it was right in your face. On election night, when the long-legged Mac Daddy came out to the microphone, and they had this huge screen behind him, and then he brought his family out, and his wife is wearing a dress with the symbol of the underbelly of a female black widow spider. And it was referred to later on by fashion designers as the First Lady's red and black dress. You know, it was a friggin' Black Widow Spider's underbelly is what the symbology of that was. Okay? The disrespect to the American people that delivered was appalling, and yet how many people do you think actually recognize what they were seeing? You see, this is the means through which they operate. They use their symbology. They constantly throw us symbols. You know, this redesign of the American flag on the side of an emblem stuck to the airplane. You know, and it was this swirly figure that subliminally represented the New World Order. You know, this big O. You know, it was supposed to be the world, and it resembled the Soviet flag in some ways. That's just another example of the symbology they use. But they use numbers a lot, and why numbers are important is because that's how they do their thievery. Not accounting for what they steal, just assuming that we will pay for it.
Most like that, numbers.
Yes.
They use their favorite numbers for the bet every single time. They've got their methodology, but they've got their technologies, but it's the angles and it's the location and it's the things that are obscure like hypotenuse and what? And it's geometry and it's things that are obscure to most people, but they use them all the time and, well, look where it's got them. They got us sitting under a pentagram, so... where they got our capital in a pentagram. They've got all these places, all these masons, all these things. I mean, all those are just, in fact, dark societies that, in fact, are just the minions of the grand center of whom is at the center of that Illuminati. So, you know, all of it. Oh, I was going to tell you also, you know, you talking about them being really big on symbologies and symbols and so on and so forth. I've got one symbol that I, in fact, feel a lot of, and I, in fact, use it a lot when I'm thinking about these beings. I always called it the Geronimo salute, so I, too, can be gesturing. Mm-hmm. In part because that's just exactly what I think of them.
Yes.
I really, in fact, I am disgusted. Well, at least we're not calling them human beings, are we? Because that's the big question mark. Well, it shouldn't be a question mark whatsoever. We've got the evidence. We know that, in fact, that they've been, and as I've heard, and I do concur, just brilliantly have planned this over centuries, just for us here in this United States, from Columbus, before Columbus, on. This has been grandly planned and mastered. All the wars, everything has been grandly mastered and placed in front of generation after generation after generation. And we just go along real happily until 1963, when excuse me. And then everything just, in fact, starts collapsing as far as morality, God in school. All the things that, in fact, that made America just started been taking away ever since that early period, which we thought were boon times and great times. Then we had the Vietnam War. And yeah, I was, that was my senior trip. How about you? You know, 1967 and, October that year, that was my, high school trip actually was boot camp in the U.S. Coast Guard. But I was fortunate and got into the reserves and spent 7 years doing that, guarding the Ohio River, and there just wasn't a whole lot of North NVAs around there at all, you know. But anyways, but then, you know, we go from that travesty, which I didn't know was a travesty based on the fact that it all started with the false flag attack, which was all paid for by the Rothschilds, by these medieval, evil, vile families that, in fact, are satanic worshiping inbreeds, and it includes the Queen of England. I mean, if a person, if a woman, or let's just say a queen, and she in fact has been talked about as having a menu that includes Mahdi Ghadi soup, And if those of you out there, if you don't have the nerve to find out what that means, maybe you shouldn't. But it is very, very bad.
Yes.
You don't really want to know that. And boy, when I heard that, I mean, I was down for a week after that. I mean, but then I just strapped myself up and I just said, I'm going to sharpen my sword. I'm going to get and dip my sword in truth. I'm going to talk on somebody's radio program. We're going to keep talking about this and talking about this and reaching those people that are out there all across this world that are saying, hey, listen, enough is way, way enough. We're done. Yeah. We're done. We don't need the government that we've got today. We do not. And that is the stunning, sobering reality of this moment. We don't need the government, people. We don't need these beings because they are not all human. They, in fact, are hybrids, if you will, with a completely different species. They're called reptilian. And they are reptilian and they're serpentine. And then you've also got Zeta. You've got the reticulans. You've got the little small grays. And they're vast empire of replicated beings. Star children, they were once called. This is who is at the very forefront of all of our agencies, every single one of them. They, in fact, are infested throughout our entire Congress and Senate and, of course, the White House, the judicial. They are all of this same sect. They are different beings. Completely.
Yes. Now, when we confront them about, let's say, an issue like health care, and we're told, oh, well, they're going to fix health care. They haven't said a damn thing about how they're fixing health care. The fixes that you have to have an insurance policy under threat of going to prison. This is to kickstart Wall Street. That's all that is. I've talked about that ad nauseum on this show. So the issue in that bill and the 2,000 extra pages outside of healthcare, what's that about? You see, or this putting the cart before the horse. Well, you'll find out about the bill after it's signed. We do not have to abide by an illegal entity occupying the White House signing laws that are unconstitutional. It's as simple as that. That solves the problem right there.
Exactly. Period. Put a period behind that statement.
That's all it
matters is the fact that don't even use the word eligibility, and you don't. That's not in this conversation. It's just that that person, in fact, cannot hold that office. And anything that he's done up to this point is null, completely void, and should be shredded and composted so you don't throw away the good stuff. And that's the shredded paper. That's the trash.
Yeah. And, you know, these, I'm going to move over to chemtrails because that's a touchy issue with me, and I know it is with you as well. The denial that this is going on. I mean, what kind of jackasses do they think we are? Really? Seriously?
with about, I don't know, with zero brain, at least the jackass has got a brain. I mean, might take a 2x4 every once in a while, but at least it's got a brain. But they figure that there are no brains out here. I mean, if you wonder if, in fact, that you fit into their matrix and paradigm, are you still drinking tap water? Or using tap water in any way, shape, or form, or toothpaste, because they all have fluoride, stannous fluoride, sodium hexafluorosilicate. They've got all these chemicals in them that do just one simple thing. They dumb your brain down. There's a process called fluorosis. And fluorosis, in fact, is also synergistic with aluminum. And in fact, that you, in fact, will inhale, you will drink, you will eat, and it's from the chemtrails. The aluminum, when it reacts in the body in a synergism, I guarantee you one of these days soon, if you spend a lot of time outside, if you use a lot of toothpaste that's got fluoride in it, if you drink tap water or even use tap water with fluoride in it, which most people do, then you will come down with Alzheimer's in about 5 to 10 years from now, especially if you use a cell phone. I've said my piece on that. But what are the dangers of chemtrails outside of just the denial? Well, you know, but they continue to do that. And that's why I've even written Ron Paul many times of recent and said, oh, and he would send me this thing about Rand, in fact, running for president. Oh, yeah, they, you know, time is short. We got to do that. I mean, it's, man, don't you get, doesn't that tire your butt out? It does mine, because I am so sick of the rant and the rave and all that stuff. I know it's important. We don't have any candidates there. I'm not certain what their plan is, but when I, in fact, write Ron Paul through his own informational that he sends me to John Tate, I guess he heads up the organization for Dr. Ron Paul, and tell him to pass this message on to Ron Paul. And I said, Dr. Paul, I said, even though you got health care being voted on today, this was just this past week, I said, voted on today, and I said, chemtrails are being sprayed over a city real close to you right now, and me. And I said, this, I said, I know that you are aware of them. I said, so was Dennis Kucinich. You know, and my interface with Kucinich, which never happened because the man would never, ever, ever write me back or make one type of remark that in fact told me that he would do something about H.R. 2977, the very bill that he in fact wrote, which is also called the Space Preservation Treaty. And I guess, unfortunately for him, his consultants, which included Dr. Carol Rosen and Alfred Weber, in fact, they had used the word chemtrails in part of the definitions of that particular bill, H.R. 2977.
Yeah.
Then he rescinded it. Then he rescinded the bill. He took the bill down. It still exists. But then he rewrote the bill, and H.R. 34 something came out, whatever. But the any mention of chemtrails was devoid of that document. Somebody, again, must have taken Mr. Kucinich aside. I don't know what they could have possibly said to him. I mean, the man lost his brother. I know he lost his sister. She was with the Army at Fort Campbell, and I read a thing somebody sent me. It said she died of a acute respiratory illness. Huh? Yeah. Acute respiratory attack or illness. Oh, well. So I wrote a letter to Dennis Kucinich by snail. I sent him a letter. And I, in fact, offered my condolences on the passing of his sister. And I went ahead, and since I recognized whom I'm speaking to in this letter, I said, but Dennis, do you suspect that there's any interface with the chemtrails and the reports of those being around those parts of Kentucky and North Carolina, Tennessee, about that time that, in fact, that she was ill, just that part of the year? It was amazing. It was a dumping, just like we reported this week.
Yeah, and
he has
said,
never written me back.
Never written you back.
No, I knew that he was the spineless wimp that I thought he was back then. And whatever he'd done, he, in fact, traded his soul and his sister's soul for whatever that being in the White House offered him.
Well, I'll say this. You know, they can deny that this is a reality. Tell me where chemtrails have a place in a cowboy movie. You can see these in all kinds of TV productions and Hollywood films, chemtrails. These guys are riding into the sunset on their horses with chemtrails in the background.
Well, it costs extra if they have to go back and airbrush them out. So there's no extra charge. Well, I mean, what was one of those really old movies? I forget, was it like Ben-Hur or something like that? And somebody spotted a chemtrail in it. I've done that myself. And I was like, wow. Well, I guess when that movie was made, yeah, they had some kind, something going on there. Which we've proven that, in fact, it tracks way, way, way back. But see, Don, it's the same type of mindset that, in fact, has drugged this on through to today, but now it has been accelerated. And, yes, we know that the acceleration includes all the sectors of the United States Canada, and it's just it's repetitious. They do it very constantly. I can't tell you how many times in the last 3 or 4 days that I've heard or read that word. Watching fleets of 5 wide jets spray these trails. 5 yeah. wide, just covering the sky. And it's like, they're writing to me, like they're asking questions, and that's what I do. I write them back, and I said, yeah, who are you going to call? You can't call anybody. Nobody
really cares. It doesn't take a genius to deduce that if they stopped spraying and stopped making chemtrail juice, and stop modifying these planes with Lord knows what it costs to put these aerosol units and the tubing and the pumps and everything else they use
on
the planes. If they took that money, they could pay for health care with that, couldn't they?
Yeah.
You see, but that's not their intention, is it?
No, their intention is to sell more pharmaceutical drugs for all these people getting sick and dying because of chemtrails.
Yeah.
Of one thing.
Exactly. That's the
That's the impact it's having, and in fact, I've got zero respect for even those professionals that are consider themselves in the environmental arena, and in fact, that set in somewhat lofty places and influencing a lot of people that are still in the environmental arena. And most of that went off the cliff with all the other lefts and Sierra and the global warmers and all that fringe bunch of reptilian nuts. There is no such thing as anybody that really cares about what goes on this earth or in this earth, sprayed on this earth, used on this earth, manufactured by man, used against humans. It doesn't make any difference. There's nobody that cares about that stuff anymore because we got oral. We got a bunch of oral. We don't care. We can just make more and throw it away. Well, this is the society that we were born out of, and it's not going to change in any way, shape, or form, because it works real well. People get very sick because of all these chemicals, and that's what they, in fact, want to, in fact, encourage us to do, and that's die. But don't die quickly, because we got a lot of stuff we want to take first and make a lot of money off of you and cripple you up and put you through all sorts of unspeakable hells, but it doesn't make any difference. We don't care, because we are they. So, anyways, that's when, in fact, I just lift my fist up in the air and scream, Hokahay, and I give him a Geronimo salute. That's the only thing I can do, because I'll assure you I will keep, in fact, trying to contact ill miserables like Dennis Kucinich. I mean, you know, Benedict Arnold wasn't this much of a traitor, was he? I don't know of history as I know it. There never were a time when there would be more of a bald-faced traitor than Dennis Kucinich. And when I heard Alex Jones describing what he felt that because of the reputation that he'd built with Alex Jones and through all this and all the shows and all this stuff, you know, still in the back of my mind, I'm thinking that he won't respond to me. He won't, in fact, answer any of my questions about the chemtrails. He is like, was talking about the bank bailout thing and all of his asking that really hard questions, you know, this and that, you know, and he's just like, it reminds me of that Edwards anyways. But the man's a wimp. He's an absolute wimp. And if that, in fact, offends him in any way, shape, or form, well, you know what? I'm not sorry, Mr. Kucinich, because, quite frankly, I don't believe in that concept either. I don't believe in apologies or being sorry. If there is ever a definition of sorry, it would be you, and I won't call you sir anymore either.
I mentioned on the show a couple of times this week, Mike Trevisano from WTAM 1100 in Cleveland, telling him that he's now wearing a skirt. And I should try to contact Trevisano and let him know that he's now qualified to hang out with Barney Frank. But nonetheless,
don't these people just make your skin crawl? They do mine.
Yeah, obviously. Now, going back to chemtrails, there are some recent reports in the far west, the northwest, that the chemtrail spraying is so heavy now that they have these webs hanging from tree limbs and off the eaves of houses, and you go outside in this, and people are getting it. They're getting direct contact on their skin. The same phenomena is going on.
Right.
What have they added to their little potpourri?
Well, actually, it's nothing more than the same cationic type polymers, which are microcrystalline polymeric forms that, in fact, contain all these packages like squalene and things that, I mean, they work about the same way. They're just big vessels, but they have a certain multiple composition that they're, in fact, ejecting from these types of spray aircraft, specialty type spray aircraft. And there's a very large company that is right here in the Midwest that, in fact, is highly suspect only because of the types of technologies that they've always promoted for use. And, by the way, that same exact company has a subsidiary company down in Oklahoma City that's been reported and documented to have been spraying something over all of Florida years ago when they had that outbreak of flu and various types of influenza. I think you remember that. But anyway, yeah, it was this particular type of Gulfstream jet that was doing the same type thing, owned as a subsidiary by this same company that's here in the Midwest that just happens to work with the flu a lot as well. Those types of technologies, in fact, are very debilitating because it very well could be that, in fact, it contained the mycoplasma prion, which, in fact, there's a very residual oil in your skin, and it resembles isobutyric acid. And, in fact, and saline in the skin and the flesh itself. And these webs are within the solubility parameter of the temperature that the Tisa G that these particular webs melt. And, in fact, they will melt and they'll diffuse right through your skin through the horny layer. It's called in the skin, in the upper epidural, and, in fact, will diffuse right through that and enter your bloodstream. And this stuff is full of micropathogens. It may not make you sick tomorrow, but when it does, you're going to wish you knew it and had some type of countermeasure because there's not a whole lot of those things around it. I don't want to give people something and tell them something that they can't do anything about, but quite frankly, if you can avoid these and any way, shape, or form, please do. And I do know that you should be looking for something that has lignite coal. There's some lignite coal availability. And, in fact, you can dissolve that in water in a certain way. And I would be glad to tell anybody that would ask. I'll send something to your site, Don, and then that way they can go there and look at that piece of information about lignite coal solution. Use that to decontaminate yourself if you're outside and you get in this, in the polymers themselves, the fibers of the filaments and or the shards of them, because they break up very easily at a certain temperature and because of the way they self-oxidize. They almost self-destruct if they don't catch on to something. But you can decontaminate yourself with a lignite coal solution, some other things that we, in fact, will suggest that it seems to work very, very well. But the key point is that you get them and make them yourself. I don't have anything to sell you, and I certainly don't have any resource or lignite coal pile that I need to get rid of. So I'm just telling you, there are countermeasures for some of these things. And quite frankly, people, that's what people across this globe are coming up with, is simple things that in fact reverse some of the damage that you don't know that you're getting from things that don't exist to begin with, if you understand that. These aren't supposed to exist. They don't exist, but they do. And they're causing all sorts of impacts. And there are ways of reversing some of these things. And I'm just here to tell you first, you know, I've got nothing for sale right now. I don't have anything to sell you, in fact, to save yourself. But, in fact, I'll be glad to give it to you with no charge whatsoever because, see, that's the sign of the serpent. That's their hook. I do everything I do in just paying forward. I don't go, I don't have any DVDs for sale. I don't have any books I wrote for sale. I don't need to refer you to my books. I just don't need to do any of that. But I encourage people, when you come up with these solutions for bizarre quasi-problems, give them away. Tell people how they can help themselves because they may be over somewhere in the Philippines or they may be in China or they may be in Australia, or all the people that's on your world map, Don. But see, you got to tell people how they can help themselves, not just tell them that you can buy it from me. I don't have anything. I don't want to sell you anything. You need to do this yourself. But see, if you learn how to do that, then you'll pass it on to somebody else. Just don't charge them anything for it. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
You get out of that paradigm of the matrix.
Yeah, it's a simple thing to do, you know, and you take responsibility
right.
for your own health and your own well-being.
Exactly.
And your loved ones. And it just branches out from there.
It just goes on from there. And I think that's the pulse of the world. They can call it globe if they want to, but this ain't a globe. This is a world. And I'll be the first one, in fact, to stand up for what this really is. It's a world, not a globe.
Yeah.
So, and it's not their world. It's our world. And they are just but a small faction of beings that, in fact, want to confiscate the entire world just for themselves, just for their pleasure, while they, in fact, think that they're going to bask in their never-ending immortality. But I've got news for them. The people that, in fact, engineered that weren't from here either. And quite frankly, they didn't tell them that they ain't going to live forever. They're not going to live forever. There is no such thing except in heaven. That's the only place you live forever. It's called eternity. Haven't you heard that, stupid? But see, they didn't tell you that. But in the meantime, well, you can just enjoy all those things that you call pleasure and immorality. I guess you're just going to do whatever you're going to do, but, you know, well, just go ahead and do what you're going to do. But I'll guarantee, told you, I'm going to be just right there with Drew Raines and Don Nikoloff and True and so many other millions and millions of this world. And, in fact, we're going to be right there in your face, and we're going to have bad breath, too.
In our closing moments here, we've got to wrap up here in a moment. I want to add that... this insanity of wiping out the world's population, wiping out those that have basically been enslaved and enslaved to earn a living while they build their little empire, and they consider us worthless, useless eaters, they refer to us as. There's a dichotomy there, because while they rid themselves of us, if that were even possible, and I want to stress that, they will have to turn on themselves, won't they? Because they know nothing else. They'll eventually do themselves in. And the comfort that we all have in that is that those of us that would depart from this world would be living on another plane, in another dimension, in another existence, much holier than this one, and we can bask in the knowledge that they're drowning in their own puke, if you get my meaning.
And when they go, there's no eternity for them.
That's what I'm saying. You know,
hey, I told you, God wins. God wins every single time, Don. And there are all these things that I come across, I would show, it can't get any bit worse than that. But I just know one thing. I don't fear, because God wins. And I know that it's not so much that God's on our side, it's just that I know I'm on his side. And there's a big difference. I know I'm on his side. And so that makes it real. That makes it reality. But we just have to keep saying the same thing, and enough people will wake up and understand that we don't need the thing that they tell us that we've got to have. We can break this demonic association with all these things, and it doesn't have to be debatable. It is not debatable. And these things, in fact, are just things that are self-evident. Isn't that how we started out as a nation and looking at the things that were self-evident? Well, it seems that they, in fact, have confiscated all those things that are self-evident to at least the people that lived back then. I think that's slowly coming around, and I know it's in our favor. We're the biggest faction. They're the smallest faction, because they, in fact, envision the world as being one very large, like an ant farm, like an ant nest, a hive, a very big hive. And then when it's nothing but this cinder hive, lifeless block, probably covered with those daggone night crawlers that I told you about, throwing your rope. I mean, once it's just floating in space like that, you know, they go somewhere else. There's a faction of them that will just go somewhere else. And people of the world, let me tell you, they've done this throughout. You can't even imagine what time is, how long they've been doing this, and they will do it again. Just like that movie, Independence Day. Well, wonder where they got the clue for that movie. These are like locusts of the galaxies, and they just keep doing the same thing. They corrupt everything. They steal all the life forms. They kill it, and they steal the resources, and they move somewhere else. And that's the process that will be stopped, because the Earth is a very, very special place. As a matter of fact, it was thought by early on that, in fact, the entire galaxy, the entire universe revolved around the Earth. Maybe that's not too far from the truth.
Yeah.
But see, we only have scientists to tell us that that's not true. But wait a minute, who are they? Oh, they're the technology guys, aren't they? Huh. Oh, well, see, that's the matrix. That's the illusion. So believe what you want. Just don't believe everything that you've heard. And I can tell you, Don, I really do appreciate you bringing me on your show and allowing me to talk to the hearts of people just if they want to listen. There's nothing here that prompts me other than the fact that knowing that the Lord has blessed us well and being able to just say things and just communicate almost sometimes in fast-forward fashion. That's what we all need to do. We need to get rid of the donkey relationship to humankind, because we're going to go extinct if we don't pick up our butts and do something, in fact, to get out of this vacuum. This is an absolute vacuum, and in fact, nothing lives in a vacuum.
Yes, well said. Dr. Castle, in parting now, I'd like to ask you a question that I suspect you've never been asked. And it's not a personal question, so don't worry. I'm assuming you've never been asked this question. Correct me if I'm wrong, too, if you would.
Where's George Carlin when you really need him?
He's up there asking for forgiveness for all the things he said about Jesus.
I know. Well, knowing Carlin, he'll finally get that done.
Or he'll come up with some original material.
Well, no, the man was funny to your heart. You know, I mean, I know you used all these vile words, and he just really violated the principle understanding of, well, you know, you don't say things like that about God and Jesus, you know. But see, that didn't seem to stop him. But somehow, some way, you almost got like an ornery laugh out of it, you know. I don't know what it was about his ability to do that. But anyways, I didn't want to mess your question up. Go ahead.
Well, he referred to the Matrix, I think, in what he said. He was talking about organized religion, you know.
Yes.
From the perspective of a polymer chemist, someone who has invented many processes that are used by industry and science, and I know of the many things that you've shared with me and on occasion with our listening audience, where does illusion fit as a chemist? How do you dispel any attempt at creating illusion in your profession? And how could we apply that to the matters at hand that our listening audience and those around the world are thinking and feeling, observing what's going on?
Okay, I think I understand what you're asking, Don. I think I go out of my way to make certain that I don't create an illusion of something, because an illusion is part of that pseudo-world. An illusion, in fact, well, wouldn't you say in reality everything is an illusion? Why, certainly. Sure, everything's an illusion. But then again, it does reflect light. Well, they're getting around that now by, in fact, using a certain light that will create invisibility. Instead of fluorescence, they create invisibility in the infrared range. Oh, so we got invisible guys and people walking around. They probably do. But see, all that's illusionary. It's based on the light and the contact angle which that light hits. But in developing things, simple things that people can use in these times, I don't need to waste their precious time in telling them something that's only going to benefit me. I can only tell them things that will benefit them. That way I don't, in fact, purvey an illusion. I want to steer clear of being illusionary about anything, because this is what this other sect, these other beings, they are the masters at casting those illusions, almost as if they're spells. And they do that just by looking at them on the TV set, just by looking at their face. I refuse to use this man's name that's in this being's name. He's an imposter. I, in fact, just referred to him as the being in the White House. Notice I didn't say human. But I do not look at his image, and I do not hear the words he says. Because this person does not exist. He's an illusion. In fact, he's a grand imposter. He's also a grand liar. Now, how much more stuff do you need to stack on that before it falls over? But I make certain that people understand that when you make an orgone accumulator, hey, it's not based on the new book that I understand that Joel Karlinski just came out with. I've got no idea what this man has written. But I had interface with Joel Karlinski years ago. And he wrote another book, I started looking to what First Earth Exposé and that organization was all about. I ran the other way. Because this is not what I, in fact, had learned. I learned about what Wilhelm Reich himself had talked about, and he was interviewed about, because they burned all his books. They threw him in jail and killed him. But I didn't discover anything. I just learned how to utilize the things that he did, just using simple observational analysis, and being amazed at some of the things that I can do with these very simple accumulators. And the one thing I contribute is the use of lodestone, or what's called black sands magnetite, which is a natural magnetic material. Natural magnetic and not electromagnetic. Therein lies the difference. Natural magnetic energy is what Reich was, in fact, infatuated with, because it was like gravity. I mean, it was like a form of gravity. It was like a form of magnetic energy that fomented into a fountain. And then he found out he could absorb orgone energy. He, in fact, could direct orgone energy. He could do anything he wanted to, but it was something. It was an energy without a mass, and you couldn't see it. At least you couldn't back then. You can now with Carillion, but you can detect it there, and he could back then. But he took this energy and, in fact, found out how to neutralize weather systems that were angry and mesocyclonic and, you know, he was able to do all these cloud busters, in fact, which would, in fact, do things that we try to do as well today, and they do these things. They, in fact, repulse the chemtrails as they're falling into the region where you live at. I've stood in my backyard for years and watched this. So has many others across the United States who've built these same things and made these same observational analysis. And I do not, in fact, subscribe or believe in the concept of coincidence. Coincidence does not exist. But anyways, just the orgone accumulators and just telling people, yeah, you're just put these things together. I've got a crystal glass candy dish full of old pennies and some magnetite and some glass boss with a 77-inch copper half-inch tube sitting on top of it. And that's it, the ground wire and a coil that you just put on the side of it, and it works. It works like I'm still amazed at what I find, that these things that we were never told, nor, but it's something that I knew the old medicine men knew, the old rain dancers knew in the tribals, and I've got lineage to the Shawnee. And as far as been tracked back through my great-great-grandmother, three grandmothers back, she was full-blooded Shawnee. And that was to the tribe at Tecumseh in southern Ohio.
So you may be related to Dick Cheney, too.
Dick Cheney? No, he looks too much like Elmer Fudd to me.
No
disrespect. But anyways, just telling people the simple things and letting them do it themselves, and then just take and pass this on to other good people who want to do something. Just don't charge anybody for it. Just pay forward. Everything that you do, just pay forward. That's all you have to do. You decide who you're paying forward to.
Yes.
So I don't create illusions. I, in fact, make people as much as I can know what stark reality is. And people, we are living in stark reality. And it's ugly, and I'm tired of this. I don't know about you, but let's just keep on keeping on. And as the Lakota chief said one time, and I subscribe to Hoka Hay.
Well, thank you for that response. You never did say whether you were asked that question before, but certainly I've heard you say these things, and it makes a lot of sense. Your confirmation. And your support of Reich's work, Wilhelm Reich, for the listeners, certainly shows that what he talked about, what he wrote about, and what he brought to the world was not an illusion. In fact, it dispels those things that rise out of illusion. So
yes.
We can all learn from applying our knowledge. Take responsibility. When you learn something that is true, certainly when you learn the truth, apply it to your life in all ways. Dr. Castle, I want to thank you for being on tonight's Evident Footprints broadcast, and I look forward to your next appearance on the show.
I appreciate it, Don, very, very much. I had a great evening and a good morning, and I'll say good night and good morning to your listeners out there, and thank you for having me, and I look forward to it, and blessings your way. Good night.
All right. I look forward to your recipe, as I'm sure many of our listeners will, the lignite and water combination. And I want to let all the listening audience know, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Castle will be with us next Tuesday, the 30th, for another episode of Evident Footprints. I'd like to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for broadcasting this show. Over at bbsradio.com, where we broadcast this show from. Special thanks to Seth Hendrick on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me again tomorrow night for another great show with none other than the former U.S. Marine, Drew Malone Raines III. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.